The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Phantom of the Opera, my favorite movie. Of course, the Nelson Eddy version, 1943, was a good one, but the original 1925 with Lon Chaney was the most definitive version. Yes, you're not hearing John Stadtmiller, ladies and gentlemen. I'm filling in for John tonight, these 2 hours, Rick Adams. Thank you, he asked me to fill in. I was able to tonight. I'm not always able to. But, you know, I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner in my home. Now I'm told I should be frightened to death to even look outside and get on the streets. I live in Rhode Island. And, you know, it is a city and state of roads. Roads everywhere. But roads, ultimately, that lead nowhere but the ocean. An ocean of debt. An ocean of insanity, if you will, leading the way toward the one world beast system of Daniel and the book of Revelation. My goodness, can you believe it? 1636, Roger Williams, establishing these colonies, Rhode Island, the colony of religious liberty and religious freedom. You believe this? And now 180 degree turn from that truth, from that parameter. We are now antichrist, atheistic, humanistic, transgenderistic colony of the vassal state of Israeli. Yep, my friend, that's where we are today. Go to the book of Deuteronomy, if you will, with me. And, you know, Deuteronomy, in chapter 28, toward the end of the book, The people of true Israel are told what the Lord will do for them and their progeny. And their progeny today, known as America and Europe, particularly of the 10 northern tribes and the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, tells them, particularly America, the nation of unwalled cities, the land between two great rivers, two great oceans, the unwalled city, that when you obey me and you do my statutes and my commandments, in chapter 28, verse 11, he tells us, the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the soil, in the land, which the Lord swear unto thy fathers to give thee. That land today is not the land of Canaan. But the Lord said, he shall open unto thee all of these good treasures, the heaven to give the rain upon thy land in its season, and also to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, thou shalt not borrow. Now today it's just the opposite. America is now a total debtor nation. Why? Because we have not obeyed God. We let these sons of Cain come in and take over. They are our judgment rod, my friends. So what does he say would happen when you do not obey us and you no longer receive the blessing? He says that my people, in verse 16 of Deuteronomy 28, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall thy basket be, and thy storehouse. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the fruit will not increase or yield, my friends, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be then. Thou comest in, when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out of the cities, out of the communities, out of the nation. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for you to do, until thou be, what? What's the word here? Destroyed. Now, we are a cursed nation today, and the whole world is also becoming a repository of those curses. Because in these days, these last days, he said he will pour out his wrath on all the nations of the world. See, they have to know that I am the Lord, I am God. There is only one, not the God of this world, Satan and his children in Jerusalem, who run this whole one world system that's destroying all that is, the great locust army. But I am the Lord. I gave you these blessings. I took you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. So what has America done? Oh, America threw out God. America said, we don't need you anymore. Said, we don't want the blessings. We have the blessings. The Federal Reserve System, the New Deal. We have all of these man-made socialist inventions that will bring us prosperity in the wallet. We don't need the Lord's blessing. Oh, we take them out on Easter Sunday and enjoy the paganism of rolling Easter eggs. And then we bring them out at Christmas time, and we have these parties and get drunk, and we laugh and giggle and celebrate Christianity. And God is not happy. He's not impressed. Let me tell you, folks, been there, done that, seen it all. And I am repelled. I am repelled. So you know what? Right now, I'm pretty happy. Right now, I'm pretty satisfied. Why am I satisfied with all of this nonsense of COVID-19, whatever they call it today? SARS, COVID-29, 39, 2, 1, whatever. Doesn't matter what they call it. I'm seeing the curses come upon this land and coming upon this world. And this is not the end, my friend. This is the beginning. I'm watching it
unfold and envelop. And it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. So that when I walk around in this area, my state, if you want to call it that, a basket case state that has now reached the pinnacle of total deficit, total borrowed money, total dependence on the one world banking system, I realize that all of this from God's word is true. And I knew that right from the get-go. I wasn't surprised, were you? Well, today, my friends, we have now this new scheme that we have, and that is you must wear your mask in public. We've gone from this phase to that phase in my state, in the government of this state and your state and many states out there, particularly next door, Massachusetts, sandwiched between New York and Rhode Island. We have a record number of cases that have been allegedly confirmed of corona. And it's interesting how we see people all around us now. 5 weeks ago, I didn't see it. 4 weeks ago, I didn't see it. 3 weeks ago, it wasn't that resplendent. But now I'm seeing it all around me. You go out and people have these scarves, masks, all kinds of cloth around their mouth. And it's getting embarrassing for some, not for me. But it is getting to the point where people are being shamed and they're being looked down upon and frowned upon. Well, I don't care. I am going to exercise my God-given right and not allow any entity to interfere with my pleasure, my freedom, my volition, or my sovereignty as a sovereign citizen. And so far, I have not. I will put a little mask on when I go into a doctor's office for a visit. That I can understand. Yeah, that I can see. But I will not wear it in store. I will not go into a restaurant. I will not go into any place, take it out or beyond, taking out of the restaurant with a mask on. And they appreciate that. But now as of tomorrow, Friday, we have a whole new beginning of relaxation. And I want to play you a clip from our local station about our governor's press meeting today, her briefing. And what she says is the relaxation of her emergency declaration activity. Because she's with the one hand now withdrawing some of those controls and beginning this long process of reopening the economy, as she said. But at the same time, mandating everyone must wear a mask or face punitive measures. Well, guess who's not wearing a mask? I am not. So if you don't hear me Saturday, you'll know that I was apprehended, arrested, convicted, and probably sentenced to confinement for a long time, because I am not going to do. Of course, I do have my exemption, which is a medical exemption. You know, I cannot cover my mouth and my nose and leave it like that for hours on end, as many people like to do. But what's the point of all? The point is that we have become a control command society, a society of robots and zombies. Robots and zombies. We all look alike. We all sound alike. And I've often said, if my family could come back, my mother and my father could come back today, and they could see what's happening around them, they wouldn't believe it. Same with yours. They could see people walking around like zombies, like Martians, like some sort of ritual, and just all together in unison around the state, around the country, around the world, looking like the Phantom of the Opera. They wouldn't believe it. They'd say, what's going on here? And I'd have to tell them, we live in an insane country. It just so happens, like one day last week, a friend of I and myself got together, and we went to the local sandwich shop here to get something and then come back and study the word. And when we went in there, some nice little millennium walked out. This millennium girl, she walked out and says, oh, for goodness sakes, wear a mask, you know? And so I was tempted to say, are you wearing a chastity belt? But I just laughed, and my friend laughed. And we said, now there's a classic example of somebody who's been robotized and become automatonic. She is a mechanical, programmed, walking robot. And that's what they want, robots. They want Americans to give up their freedom. Now, I'm not saying that this is not partly the wrath of God. I'm not saying that at all. They deserve what they get. On the other hand, however, I'm saying that I am not under that curse. You're not under that curse if you're doing what you should be doing to seek God's blessing, to read and study His Word, and to try the best that you can to do right. Now, nobody can do perfect, okay? Nobody is without sin. Nobody is without flaws. All of us have sinned. And that's why Jesus Christ is the only intercessor. For all have sinned and fallen short of that glory of the Lord. You see? There's none righteous, no, not even one. And anyone who thinks he is or she is a liar. Is a liar. And they're making God a liar. I see how these people today, our people, are steeping deep into sin. And they think good is evil and evil is good. The sexual depravity, the sexual perversion, calling it good, calling it a blessing that they are practicing homosexuality, that they're practicing all kinds of animalistic behavior, because in their minds, they believe it. They actually believe it. And they think they believe in God. They really don't know any better. Because we've been Talmudized in our minds. We've been anesthetized to not know right from wrong anymore. So, I want to play for you right now. During the break, we'll interrupt it. We'll come back. I want to play for you a nice link that I had found some time ago. And it's a link from this group online, Truth Stream Media. And, of course, the website is https://www.patreon.com/Truth Stream Media. The title of it is very appropriately, The Characteristics of an Initiation Ritual. Because, you see, in my state, our governor is a New Age governor. She's New Age all the way. New Age. Wonderful. She considers herself to be a wonderful Roman Catholic. Graduated all of these, you know, schools, La Salle Academy. And she is a Rhodes Scholar, of all things. But she said she's a Bible-believing Catholic. She has her faith in God and everything else. So this is how she practices. She is becoming the high priestess of the state in New Ageism. The New Age movement is taking us over by leaps and bounds that we don't even know it. Let's see if we can listen to a little bit of this beautiful video presentation and get a feel for what I'm talking about. Now listen very carefully. We'll come back.
Julian Huxley once wrote that the basic elements in cultural transmission and transformation are psychological. This is how we change. Since time immemorial, high rituals have been performed to transform reality. Ritual, a spiritual psychodrama of conscious, deliberate actions taken to facilitate change. Changes to the whole of the environment people exist in, starting with the mental landscape of the people themselves, the place where our reality is first born a dream. Artist Sharon Devlin once bluntly described the true purpose of ritual as being a method to alter one's mind.
You get that, folks? That's the intro. Stay tuned. We'll come right back. I'm Rick Adams, filling in for John Fatton. What goes up must come down.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
All right, folks, we're going to go right back to this presentation now so you can get an idea of this brainwashing technique, the characteristics of a what? An intuition, an initiation, an inculcation ritual. Here it comes. Let's get back to it right now.
It's a sacred drama in which you are the audience as well as the participant. And the purpose of it is to activate parts of the mind that are not activated by everyday activity, she said. The mechanics of change, change through mechanism, a rhythm to sink to, merge and flow with, a magnetic draw drawing one down the path toward transmutation. Rituals are vehicles driving home those ideas. The information, the data, the symbols, which, upon transmission, create the language by which new society members communicate after they are initiated. This new language imparts a new understanding through definitions the ritual generates, meaning pegged to signposts of its own self-referential process, even if the original purpose gets lost in the repetition of action. A ritual initiation introduces and inducts one into the way, a new way of life or worldview, a program to guide beliefs and actions, enabling the initiate to become a full and true member of the new society. Note that ritual is not always a conscious action. Not everyone partaking in a ritual is always made explicitly aware that they are participants. And yet still, new patterns of thought, of significance, are drummed in, conscious or not.
Ladies and gentlemen, this commercial is going to use subliminal advertising.
An initiation ritual typically involves three stages. See if any of this sounds familiar to you.
Because this is going to be transformative.
First, isolation for purification. The initiate is separated from the mundane. Did you know mundane means of the world? The initiate is largely removed from the otherwise familiar persons, places, and things one is used to in order to be cleared of them.
Stay home. Protect yourself. Protect our system. Stay home. Everyone must stay at home. We have to stay home because if we don't, stay home, stay safe.
Detached and insulated. Purged. Purified.
An extraordinary time where we have to stay home. We have to stay physically distant from the ones we love.
How we can change our day-to-day life to avoid direct face-to-face contact.
Try and keep yourself away from people as much as possible.
An essential element of this separation from one's typical environment is the suspension of the normal rules of living that one is used to. The normal way.
Normality, as it was before, will not come back.
Much of the initiate's senses will be commanded and regulated at this time. In other words, the majority of what the initiate sees, hears, smells, touches, and tastes, if directly related, is deliberately controlled. These senses may be bombarded, modified, limited, or deprived. But regardless, perceptions and experiences are ultimately overseen by the high priests and priestesses directing the ritual's performance, enabling new light to shine through a newly opened window of thought.
Every generation has a higher purpose. Ours is to stay home.
With nowhere else to go except where allowed, the insulated, isolated initiate may be forced to confront his or her own reflection and inner shadows that have been ignored or buried somewhere deep beneath the average day-to-day suddenly become unavoidable. Triggers detonated. Another purge. Just as they involve surrender, initiation rituals may also involve sacrifice. Both the tangible that can be held in a hand and the intangible, such as behaviors, may be given up by requirement.
We force us to change our routines, lifestyles, and habits, and many will be desperate for life to go back.
After all, for something to be given, something must also be taken. A token of submission, an ounce of blood, a pound of clay to be remolded.
Society will undergo a radical transformation.
Whether dramatically overt or deceitfully subtle, the ritual reinterprets. A new definition given. Training in the form of new behaviors and knowledge, including myths and codes.
Our world is filled with codes, pacts, user agreements, subliminal messages.
Necessary for new members to function properly in the society they are being inducted into, are all imbued at this time. Repetition is typical, as its use helps hammer the spell home.
A new normal?
A new normal.
We have to accept a new normal.
The wearing of masks may be required. Masking has traditionally played an important role in rituals of this kind.
Uh-huh. Alrighty. Break time. Rick Adams filling in for John Stadtmiller. We will return.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
It's Rick Adams, folks, filling in for John Stadtmiller. To get to toward the end of this clip, notice the reference to masking and ceremony, and how this whole thing worldwide has resembled some sort of pandemic, some sort of psychological mantra that you would find typical of a satanic mass type of activity. And this is what I believe we're going through right now. This is the prelude to the man of sin, the new world religion, and the whole new world order. So let's get back to the end of this clip right now.
Masking has traditionally played an important role in rituals of this kind.
Meantime, New York City has joined Los Angeles, advising residents to cover their faces. Well, we've already seen a big jump in the number of people wearing masks.
Well, they've announced that anybody who is flying on the plane is going to be having to wear a mask. See here right behind me, about half the folks in line at this market basket right now are wearing masks.
Oh.
Today there was a mandate that went into effect across the entire country to wear a mask.
Enabling and hastening the suppression of ego to help facilitate a death of the old identity before the identification with and manifestation of a new one. Disguised under a mask and hidden away, the initiate is more easily able to transcend the self, pushed further toward that invisible line between the physical and spiritual realms.
The fear that we have
time, the anxiety that we have, that's not just going to go away.
Trauma is another aspect of this kind of initiation, and most especially to personalize the fear of death.
People are dying, and nearly 6,000 Americans have died.
Sometimes the act of dying is even ceremonially role-played. The dark beyond the darkness. The yawning abyss.
Oh.
I thought I was going to die, and I've never been faced with death before.
Only after death is confronted can the initiate be symbolically resurrected, reborn anew.
To go to sleep in one world and wake up in another.
While the process that is playing out is quite coordinated and sophisticated in reality, it may be executed in a purposefully confusing manner.
Thanks for joining us. I know we're surrounded by uncertainty. It feels like everything is changing.
So that the goalposts seem to keep moving back and forth, up and down, here, now, there, rendering the initiate unable to find solid mental ground from which to make logical sense of anything.
We're trying to figure out how to do this every week because everything changes constantly.
This disorientation is key. The uncertain timing generates a general anxiety, further removing the initiate from reality and leaving him or her more susceptible to a type of Pavlovian conditioning. This weakens the defenses just as a virus would. Only this has the potential to break down the individual much more completely than a virus would.
I know we're surrounded by uncertainty.
Whatever the finer details, the previous way of life is shed like an old skin. At the end. The end that comes before the beginning. The change begins. This is the second phase, the transition.
It's liminal time or liminal space. The word liminal literally means a threshold, that we're on a threshold of a new time, a new way of doing things in our society, that there's going to be some transformation.
As the old self symbolically dies and passes away, the initiate descends into a state of liminality, a sort of fever dream purgatory nowhere land, the void in the middle. Thus, the old self dies as the initiate is purified. Now a white room, a blank canvas washed and primed and desperate for paint, a tabula rasa. At the same time his old existence and way of life dies, the initiate transcending it is gradually being processed, reprogrammed, and incorporated into his or her new environment.
Because this is going to be transformative. It is going to be transformative on a personal basis, on a social basis, on a systems basis. We're never going to be the same again.
Reformed, reconstituted, and rebirthed into the new world that awaits at the end of the tunnel.
As a society, beyond just this immediate situation, we should start looking forward to understand how this experience is going to change us, or how it should change us.
This is the final phase of the ritual, integration.
And everyone wants to know, is this the new reality?
Too early to say that we're looking at something closer to a reformation.
We're waking up to the new normal.
When do we get back to normal? I don't think we get back to normal.
This is an extraordinary time where we have to accept a new normal.
Society will undergo a radical transformation.
And if you're feeling alone, just remember, we are alone together.
Oh.
And as a new normal descends, it can feel so solitary. And yet, we're all alone together.
Does any of this sound familiar now?
Mm-hmm. Sure does. Does it sound familiar to you? It sure does. Boy, it hits the nail right on the head, doesn't it? It's a good video. It's good audio. And I think it aptly describes the moment we're living in now. It's much deeper to the student of psychological warfare than what you would first think.
It gets right into the stratagem, and right into the plan of action of these wicked ones who know how to cultivate a whole new mindset, a mindset of control, a mindset of robotization. And now we're seeing all of this take place under the guise of convincing people that there is a worldwide pandemic, a threat to them personally, their health. And therefore, we must bring about the unraveling of the economic strata of the United States. Now, many of the people who write to me, who send emails, and many of the news stories, they come from various news services that I read, they're all saying, what else would bring down the powerhouse economy of the United States? Well, let me tell you something. I disagree with that. The United States economic system is not a powerhouse, folks. It is a fiat economy. We've been lied to ever since the 1980s. It started in World War II and before with the destruction of American economic sovereignty when Franklin Delano Roosevelt declared a bank holiday in the 1930s, 1933. He declared war on the American people and their savings, their economy, their work, their individual sovereignty. He knew what he was doing. As he said, if something happens in politics, it was no accident. You can believe it was planned that way. How diabolical can you be? It was planned. We would have the Great Depression, as they call it. It was planned that we would have World War I after the central private bank. It was planned that we would go into another worldwide war to liberate the world again. It was all planned. And what was the end result? To shrink the American economic and political system until someday it could be comfortably merged in a one-world system. That's as simple as that. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's all in the open. It's been shown to be the case time and again. So since the 1980s and the mergers and acquisitions and a whole new MBS system, you know, the mortgage-based securities and, oh my goodness, I can't even begin to tell you all of the securities exchanges and the bonds and so forth that took place. And I'm not an economic expert, but I know enough to know, to realize, that this was all done to unravel the false economic system that we thought was real to begin with. It's a credit-based, debt-based economy, not gold-based, not organically monetized, but in fact, a paper aristocracy. The American public never knew. We grew up in the Leave It to Beaver world. We grew up thinking America was great and strong and wonderful. The credit card schemes, all of them, making us dependent on government, on industry, on economic systems that were not in our interest. Remember Deuteronomy? Be the lender and not the borrower. Well, here we are, the borrower, the debt-infested people of God, and they are the lenders, the money changers. The same, yes, people that Jesus Christ threw out of the temple. He overturned the money table. He flung them at them. That's one instance we have in Scripture where he became enraged. So he knew the enemy. The enemy wasn't his people, stupid and dumb as they are. Sinners, to be sure, wicked sinners. Well, he knew that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But he knew the wicked ones were not going to be saved. They were going to be destroyed. The people of my curse, their judgment. In the end. But first, they have to fulfill this obligation, you see. They have to do their duty in order for God to use them to punish his people for their sins. That's what America is going through now. I sound like a preacher. I don't intend to be. I'm sorry. But I need not apologize. I'm just telling you the way I feel. I've been saying this for 16 years on Republic Broadcast. I haven't changed my message too much. I've adapted it. But for the most part, I've been saying the same thing, singing the same song, and few will listen. Many thought they'd have a hero and another hero. And we'll try the 2008 election. And we'll get rid of Obama.
and we'll get a new regime. We'll get the Bushes back again, and then we'll get the Obamas back in 2008. And then we'll try something new. Obama became the most terrible president since all of these others. So we'll zig and we'll zag and we'll go back and forth, as if the president is the be-all, end-all of anything. Nothing but an errand boy. See? Been telling you this for years. Then we have people like Abe Foxman and the ADL, the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they hate the white race. They keep saying it, and all the people they dredge up, they keep saying they hate whitey. And the white people, so-called, the whiter the better, are the Israel of God today. The Adamic, Caucasian, Jacobite, Isaacian people of the Bible. So we see the quotes. Somebody sent me this, and they posted them and replicated them quite accurately, I believe. We have this professor, I guess, Ignatius, who came here to America, a nice little Jewish boy, who came from Europe, of course, and he said the goal of abolishing the white race is on its face so desirable that some may find it hard to believe that it could incur any opposition other than from committed white supremacists. Make no mistake about it. We intend to keep bashing the dead white males and the live ones and the females as well, until the social construct known as the white race is destroyed. Not deconstructed, but destroyed. Professor Dr. Noel Ignatieff, Harvard University. I guess he died recently. He was impacted to the point where he just was stuffed with you-know-what. And not surprising. A fitting end. Fitting end to this man. Here's another one. Quote, blonde-haired and blue eyes are a biological defect. White race is a disease. The only cure is a bullet. The rule of whites is history. Soon, they will be our serfs. It's now age of the brown man. Of course, that came from some Hindu nationalist by the name of Ramesh Shammah. So that's what they think of the European Adamic Caucasian people of the Bible. And you know what? They're not wrong. I mean, they're actually accomplishing that goal. Doing it through miseducation. They're doing it through war. They're doing it through homosexuality. They're doing it through transgenderism. And the stupid whites, the kids, don't even know it. And they love it. They're being led to the slaughter willingly. But you see, they have a savior. And the Savior's going to come, and he's going to straighten things out. He's going to kick some butt. And believe me, they're going to come in screaming and crying and tearful and everything, but they're going to know who they are someday. And that day is coming soon. So we ought to think about these things. These things are important. I know that when I say this, of course, immediately they, in the synagogue of Satan, will seize upon them. There's a white racist. There's a white supremacist. I haven't said anything about supremacy. I haven't said anything about racism. I'm just told them that they are the racist. I just told you that anti-whiteism is anti-Christ. It's anti-God. It's anti-Bible. It's pro-racism. And white men should not be, and women should not be targets of them. When they waged the war on Germany, what they did was to pretty much eliminate a lot of that blonde-haired, blue-eyed men and women who represented that race. And so they're still doing it today. Now they're doing it through miscegenation, biological transformations, all kinds. So why am I saying that? I'm making a little transition here to understand in our hearts and minds. This is not just a war of psychological proportions and psycho-warfare, but this is a war physically, biologically, biochemically. It is an all-out seduction, you know, and destruction of a race of people, as
General Patton found out. A race of people who were wonderful, who built the empires, who built the nations of the world, were productive, were hardworking, and certainly produced the kind of benefits for all to see and enjoy in their lifetimes. And that's why they're so hated. Because the others, those who call themselves Judah, and are not, but do lie, they're the ones who are the scavengers, largely. They are the ones who have stolen what others have produced. So, folks, when I come back, we're going to begin to let you hear what it sounds like to live in a state, ocean state of debt, ocean state of depression, as some have called it, okay? We'll let you hear. We'll be back filling in for John Statmiller, Rick Adams.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Ladies and gentlemen, yes, we are back. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to play for you, and we'll get comments later. We'll invite your calls in the second hour on John's show. But I want to just let you hear what kind of cratchety voice this governor that we have in my state of Rhode Island, who is constantly and has been right from the get-go, illustrating her, you know, nip and tuck, her tit-for-tat, constant changing, constant gyrating, like we just heard on the video, of this tweaking of the system of making us happy, making us safe, making us so safe that we will not have to be ill, and we can stem the tide of all of these COVID-19 deaths. Now, I want to play a little bit. Let's start at that number, Mike, and see if we can get an idea for press conference or briefing today.
So to that end, what we're going to start doing now is testing our systems. We've all developed new ways of living and going about our business. We all now know how important it is to wash our hands and stay 6 feet apart and wear our masks. We all have become much more aware of what's necessary to keep ourselves safe.
Yeah.
And I think we all know how horrible the consequences are of trying to break the rules. So I feel that I am leading from a position of confidence and strength, and quite frankly, trust in the people of Rhode Island. I am trusting that people are going to do the right thing and use good judgment. You know, we're not going to be able to enforce every bit of everyone's human behavior in the weeks and months to come. But we are all in the same boat here. If we think we're outfoxing the disease and we're going to start to try to push the limits, go faster than we should, we're all going to get in trouble. We're all going to go backwards. So let's just all do the right thing. We've learned together what that means. We're going to use common sense and good judgment, care and concern for our neighbor. We're going to start slow. We're going to gain speed. And over the next few weeks and months, we're going to get right back to where we wanted to be. A week and a half ago, I set forth the triggers. And I want to take a second to go through that. I'll start the conference by saying, everyone keeps saying to me, Gov, are we going to lift the stay-at-home order on Saturday? The answer is yes. I'm very proud to say, because of your hard work, we're going to lift the stay-at-home order. And I'm going to let that executive order expire, and I'm not extending it. Why am I doing that? Because we've met all of the triggers such that we can do that safely. So what are they? Number one, we said there had to be a 14-day downward trend in cases or a 14-day stable trend in hospitalizations. So, as I said, to determine this, we want to look at an average. We're talking about trends. We're not talking about any particular day or point in time. So what we have been looking at and tracking is a 3-day moving average now versus a 3-day moving average 14 days ago.
Governor. Folks, you're getting a little taste of what gobbledygook sounds like, of what bureaucracy sounds like. And we're going to come right back in the second hour on the John Stadtmiller Show. Rick Adams. For him on this Thursday program. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.